This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. Thanks for being with us here. Always appreciate the hooligans out there tuning into the show. Want to thank Kane Doolin and McQuinn Young Law Firm. We know we live on dangerous roads in Weld County, Northern Colorado. So if you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane Doolin McQuinn and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. Trying to reach Steve Ivey, our Colorado State Rams insider, our basketball insider, the hoopster. I mean, I listened to his podcast this morning, and, you know, he just knows his hoops. He knows his stuff when it comes to CSU. Check out his blog and his podcast at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. What was it? Crakers? What is a craker? Steve Ivey is not a craker. He's the swole cracker joining us now. And Steve, I'm not even a little bit sad about the loss to Utah State. I thought the Rams could win that game. They certainly had their opportunities, but I guess I've had it hammered into my brain enough, probably by you and others out there, that this conference is going to beat you up. You're going to lose tough games. And that was a tough spot to play. Wasn't it a sellout? Spectrum was packed. It was nuts. And that's a good basketball team.
Absolutely. You know, I'm, of course, disappointed being a CSU fan. And I think Ram Nation in general is pretty disappointed because it was an opportunity for a good win against a very good team. But what a tough spot to play in front of a sellout crowd. Their first sellout of the year. When you're a ranked team, you have a target on your back. They have they've had a lot of success with that program, but you've got a brand new coach with basically a brand new team, and they're really riding the wave. And that was always going to be a very, very difficult game. And evidently, it was just absolutely raucous and crazy there. Great college basketball environment in Logan, Utah. And yeah, it's a tough loss, but you know, CSU didn't take a hit in any of the major metrics that qualify you for the NCAA tournament. The only downside is it's a loss, and they really want to win the Mountain West Conference championship, and a win there would have gone a long way, getting a road win against one of the top teams.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I would imagine we're going to see Utah State drop a few games too, and then maybe even this thing out, and we'll see. What can you say though on the Utah State side of things? You mentioned it, Danny Sprinkle. An amazing name, by the way, but just taken off with this team. And we talked about this. I think I talked about this on Friday with Isaiah. Steve, was the fact that, you know, the schedule makers, the TV schedulers, didn't think Utah State and CSU were probably going to be worth the darn this year, so didn't bother to put them on any major kind of network. So we only got to watch it on the Mountain West Network on their website. But Danny Sprinkle has this team rocking and rolling, man.
Yeah, you know, you should have. You know, given the fact he came from Montana State, you've seen him at in Greeley the last few years. He was there 4 years, took him 2 years of some hard times, and next thing you know, he took over the Big Sky the last 2 years. So a heck of a coach and really good in terms of understanding what the region takes, what Utah State really requires to be successful. So he's brought in some transfers from Montana State, two really good players, Darius Brown and Great Osabor, and then mixed it in with a bunch of other transfers, and had a returning redshirt freshman who was a perfect fit for what they're trying to do and what has traditionally been worked at Utah State. He was a Utah high school player who went out on a two-year LDS mission and redshirted a year. So he's a 22-year-old freshman. Name is Mason Falslev. He had 18 the other night, but that's the core of how Utah State has built their successes with older players who have gone out on LDS missions. And you can bet he's going to be a core player, much like Sam Merrill was just a few years ago, who's now in the NBA. So he's done a great job building that team, and it shows now. They're ranked 20th today, Brady, 20th in the AP poll.
Yeah, and where I didn't even look yet. Did CSU, are they sticking it? Did they move one spot? Is that 14?
They moved to 17.
17, okay.
17, San Diego State 18, Utah State 20. And I want to mention something regarding that. You got three Mountain West teams in the top 25 for the first time in 11 years.
Wow.
Time was 2013 when it was CSU, New Mexico, and I think UNLV. If it wasn't UNLV, it was San Diego State. Anyway, what I think is really, really interesting, you know, they talk about the Mountain West being a mid-major conference. CSU happens to be in the same state with a team from the Pac-12. Utah State happens to be in the same state with a team from the Pac-12. San Diego State happens to be in the same state with four teams from the Pac-12. Mountain West has three teams ranked. Pac-12 has one team that's ranked. I think that's pretty amazing. It's certainly not a mid-major conference.
No, you're exactly right. Not when it comes to college basketball. Steve, what do you think? You think they're shooting a little extra free throws, CSU, this week as they prepare for Boise State? That was rough. They didn't go to the free throw line once in the first half, but then when they finally did get to the free throw line, 4 of 11.
So, you know, Brady, it was an anomaly. They're a great free throw shooting team, and it's always hard to say how much the crowd influenced it. I'm sure the crowd was awfully loud and raucous while they were trying to shoot free throws, but Isaiah going 1 for 3, just to put that in perspective, he's played in that gym four previous times and has shot 15 for 17. So he's played in front of loud crowds there. Obviously, the free throw shooting was a factor. If CSU shoots their normal percentages, they have four more points. If Utah State shoots their normal percentages, they have four less points. And that on paper looks like enough to make a difference. But as I talked about in my podcast this morning, you can't just look at it simply by the made and missed free throws. Utah State was able to impose their inside presence a little stronger, and CSU did not handle that very well defensively. They fouled the big guy too many times, and ultimately they needed to play better interior defense. And then on the offensive side, CSU needed to make a few more layups and a couple more threes, and they had the opportunities. Utah State's a good program. Utah State figured out a way to fight their way to a win.
Yeah, they did. We knew it was going to be a battle for sure. Well, it doesn't get any easier. They're on the road going to Boise State coming up tomorrow night. And I did watch the second half of the Boise State-San Jose State game. And it looked, you know, again, it was a rough go in that first half for the Broncos, but once they kind of get cooking, once they get rolling, that could be a really scary team too. And obviously, we know how good they are at home. That is going to be a difficult spot for anybody to play. So I know CSU is going to have to be ready to rock and roll in that one.
Yeah, you know, so probably a little known fact to the listeners. The current longest home winning streak in Division I college basketball is held by Boise State at 21 straight. So it is a very, very difficult place to play. If you watch the game on Friday, they absolutely dominated the second half inside. They owned the glass. They ended up winning the rebound battle by about 55 to 25. It wasn't even close. They have a very, very strong front line. CSU struggled to rebound against Utah State. CSU rebounded very well against New Mexico, and this game is going to come down to, I think, inside presence, the ability for CSU to neutralize the front line for Boise. They have Tyson Degenhardt, returning All-Mountain West player, a transfer from St. John's named Omar Stanley, who was a Mountain West Player of the Week last week, and then a really good small forward who shoots threes at about 50% clip. So really, really strong. CSU is going to have to neutralize them, and then Boise has a little bit weaker backcourt, and CSU should be able to take advantage of that. But it's, again, you know, here's another disappointing thing. It's only going to be streamed on the MW. I think it did get picked up by a local channel, by Channel 20, KTVD. But it's not on a major network. It was a lot of, it's a Tuesday night game, and people didn't think CSU was going to be that strong this year. That's why Utah State was supposed to be weak, CSU just a little bit better. That's why that game was streamed, and that certainly deserved to be a national game. This one on Tuesday night is going to be one of the top five games in the country played on Tuesday night. And it's just the third game in a really good opening stretch for the Rams, starting with New Mexico, moving on to to Utah State and then finishing with Boise before they come home to a bye. It's a heck of a stretch, and it'll be a great win for them on tomorrow night.
Yeah, it would be, no question about it. Tall task for sure, but this is a really great basketball team in Colorado State. Steve, tell our listeners where they can check your stuff out. I listened to your podcast this morning. Well done, as always, my friend. Let our listeners know how they can find you.
You can find me on Spotify at Crackers College Hoops. Not Quackers. not Quakers.
I'll get there.
Crackers. but I hope, did you enjoy my rant about the officiating?
I did. You know I always love it because you know every ref in the history of the world, and I think it's so impressive. But, yes, I did enjoy the rant.
Well, you know, I launched a little bit, not about whether it cost CSU the game, because, you know, you can always argue that one way or the other. I don't get into that, but it was just the lack of experience. Two refs out of three had never refereed a Mountain West Conference game before. One guy had never refereed anything probably in a gym bigger than 1,500. Here he is in front of a crowd of 10,500 loud people. And so it had to be overwhelming for them, for two of those three officials. And that's asking a lot. There's so much inexperience. But I talked about that in my podcast. Like I said, you can find me on Spotify. And then my blog, I will write up game reports of games that I attend that I see with my eyes. I do not like covering teams off the TV. TV only gives you a two-dimensional view of where the ball is. You don't get to see the entire court. And you know as well as I do, I've sat with games with you, Brady. You see the entire court, too. It's more enjoyable, but it's also more, you can get a lot better picture of a game by being able to see more than just what the camera sees. So yeah. You can on the crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com.
I love it, man. Nobody sees the game quite like you do, my friend. Steve, appreciate you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
You bet, Brady. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you.
All right, man. Sounds good. 12:52 the time. Let's take a quick break, wrap up this hour. In the third hour, more on the Broncos, NFL playoff pictures, and the national championship. Who you got, Michigan or Washington tonight? A big one. I am very excited about this game. Tonight is the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Happy New Year from the entire KFKA crew. Thanks for making us your station. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.